I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, as it is Christmas. Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You as always for this day that we can gather together and celebrate Christmas. Celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrate with family, celebrate with friends, celebrate in church, but celebrate most importantly in the Holy Spirit of God made possible to us because Jesus came. Lord, we praise You for all the blessings, the provisions, and the protections on our life. And we praise You for the opportunity to stand before You with peace, love, and joy today, all because Jesus, the Christ, our Lord, has come. For it's in His name we read the Scriptures. It's in His name we gather and praise. And it's in His name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Mary and Joseph are part of the story. The shepherds are part of the story. The angels are part of the story. The manger is part of the story. The innkeeper is part of the story. The stable is part of, and all that's the story. We know what line is coming next. We've heard it 1,000 times. We know what the next sentence will bring. We know the story. But do we know the message? There's a message that goes beyond just what the story tells us. Stories about your and my need. We needed something, so God Almighty stepped in. If mankind's greatest need were for information, then God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need were for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If the world's greatest need were for money, like we think it is, then God would have sent an economist. And if our greatest need were for pleasure, like we so often act like, God would have sent an entertainer. But your and my greatest need was for forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. We're going to turn everything on its side this morning and make it about the message. I want you to know the message is Jesus Christ came to this world to forgive you and make it possible for you to spend eternity in heaven for Him. That's the message. More on that later. But we're going to extend an invitation right now. It's not an afterthought. It's the purpose. Ask yourself this morning, every single person here this morning, ask yourself, what do I need? What do you need? We don't have a lot of needs, folks. You and I don't have a lot of needs. Our list is short. What do I need? That's what Jesus came for. Do you need forgiveness of your sins this morning? Do you need a personal relationship with a God who loves you so much He came here just to be with you? Is that what you need? If that's what you need, I pray and I beg you and I urge you. It would be the greatest thing. You want to have a Merry Christmas? Oh, hallelujah, you can have it. Then come to this altar today and receive the gift that He's offering. He's waiting to hand to you, and it'll become yours when you accept it. Accept His salvation. Accept His lordship. Accept Him into your heart and life today. Please come as we stand and sing. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Think about it. It's 4 days. Okay? Today's the 21st of December. Four days till Christmas. Are you ready? All right? Does that sound like fun to you? Or let me put it this way. Are you more excited or are you more exhausted, okay, that it's getting that close? Is there so much to do? Is there so much yet to do? Are we excited that it's about to be Christmas, or are we exhausted, or do we have anxiety that it's about to be Christmas? You see, in the story, there's a message. You have all these elements, and we know them all, that there's there. Again, the angels and the shepherds and the manger and Joseph and Mary and all these things, the wise men, they're all part of the story. But in the story, and Luke repeats it time and time again in these handful of verses that we read this morning, what the message truly is of what Christmas is all about, of what Christmas can be and should be for you and I, the message is right there interwoven Multiple times in this passage, we see that, of course, Joseph and took Mary to Bethlehem to be part of the census, and they had the baby while they were there, and they wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, and the angel of the Lord came to the shepherds there at night, and it says, listen, here's where it gets start to really get good on the message in verse 9. Angel came and appeared to the shepherds, and, quote, the glory of the Lord shone around them. We begin to see a glimpse of the message. The glory of God shone around them. The angel said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We're getting more message. He says, I bring to you good news. Now we're getting there. There's the message. There's a message. I bring you good news of great joy. There's your message. Christmas is good news. Christmas is great joy. Christmas is glory to God. It says, he goes on to say that in the city of David, a Savior has been born. And then the heavenly host, a great company appeared with the angel. It says, praising God. There's your message of the story. Saying, glory to God, message, and on earth, peace to men. Skipping on down to verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. That's the message. And the shepherds return glorifying and praising God. Glory to God. Don't be afraid. Good news. Great joy. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Treasuring things up in your heart. Glorifying and praising God. There's the message. Woven within the story. We know the story, but are we missing the message? Okay? Are you excited about Christmas? I'll tell you something, when we're little, when we're kids, we get excited about it, don't we? We look forward, we're counting down the days, and it's an exciting time, and you start getting up every morning and hoping that today's Christmas, at least after you get out of school, and you get up and you run in and thinking, maybe today's the day, maybe I slept for like a week, and it's finally Christmas Day, and you're so excited about Christmas, but that goes away, doesn't it? After a while, it goes away. It's kind of like, been there, done that. But the message is the same. And if we know the message and we're living the message, then the excitement of the message should never grow old. The excitement goes because we forget the message. The angels, you know, we sing the songs, the angels and the heavenly hosts proclaim joy to the world. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. Let me tell you something, the angels, they knew the deal. They get it. All right? Let us not lose sight that this Christmas, this is something that is very special and something to be excited about. Amen? It was the story of a man who was out in town, and he was standing out on the sidewalk outside a department store admiring the very nice nativity scene that had been placed in the window there. And as he was standing there looking at it, a woman and her little daughter came running by, and the daughter kind of stopped and was being tugged. And she said, Mommy, can we just stop for a minute and look at Jesus? And the mother turned and looked down and said, you know, we're not halfway through our shopping list. We've got so much to do. Come on. And she pulled her away. Because there was too much to do. The message had been lost. I have a feeling that most of the pressure that's on us, listen to me, to have Christmas be right, most of the pressure that is on us to have Christmas be perfect, most of the pressure we have on us to have Christmas be a certain way, we put on ourselves. Amen? Okay, we put it on ourselves. Nobody's pressuring us to buy the exact right stuff. Nobody's pressuring us to go to every single thing that's out there. Nobody's pressuring us to cook everything just perfect and to be at everything. Nobody, that pressure we are putting on ourselves. Let me ask you a question. How would you feel if your birthday had become a source of stress for everybody? Okay? Not too good. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, you know, if you who are evil know how to give good things and want good things for your loved ones, how do you think your Father, who is perfect, feels? He wants nothing but good things for us. He doesn't want us to be stressed out over His birthday. We do a lot of concentrating in our society and us, those of us as believers nowadays on making sure we keep Christ in Christmas, don't we? And we want to say Merry Christmas, and we see it on the TV, we hear it on the radio, it's all over the internet, and everybody wants to do Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings and all that. And it just makes your blood boil a little bit, doesn't it? Okay? You're supposed to leave Jesus in. It's Merry Christmas, for crying out loud. Don't try to change it into something that it's not. First of all, I would say to you that listen, we cannot expect, again, we cannot expect people who don't put faith in Christ, who are not followers of Christ, who are not Christians, we can't expect them to keep Jesus in this season. We can't expect them to. We're the ones who are supposed to do that. If they don't, that is by their choice. And by the way, that's their loss, all right? Because they're left with all the pressure and none of the joy. So don't stress out so bad about what people who aren't Christians, who aren't following God, aren't doing and what they're not saying. Furthermore, I would go just a little bit further. If you and I are wanting to keep Christmas called Christmas and we want to keep Jesus' name in it, all right, we got to make sure that we're doing that not just in word, but in deed. As I read through my Bible, and there's a lot left to subjectivity, there's a lot left to interpretation, there's a lot left to what the principles are in here, but it doesn't say an awful lot about making sure that Jesus' name is attached to Jesus' birthday. However, it does specifically state that we are not supposed to use His name in vain. Can I tell you this morning that if we're making sure that Jesus' name is left in Christmas, but we're not living out the message of joy and peace and glory to God, then we have taken and used His name in vain. Let's make sure that we're not doing that, okay? Let's make sure that we're living out the message. There was a particular church in California who wanted to promote, you know, the right sentiment and the right ideas for the season, and they purchased a number of billboards on the highway, and they put on these billboards very simply, Jesus is the reason for the season. All right, and that's a nice sentiment and needs to be done. Okay, people need to be reminded, and people would ride by them every day. There's one particular woman who had recently moved to the area and obviously was not a believer, and it upset her so much to see this every day as she went to and from work that she wrote a letter to the church complaining about it. And she concluded her statement by saying, quote, true story, I don't think the church should try to drag religion into every holiday. See, she's missing the whole message of Christmas, is she not? She's gotten it wrong. She's messed it up. We don't want to be like that, do we? Yet our culture, and we're, again, more affected by godlessness than we realize. Our culture kicks off every Christmas season, right, by storming the doors at Best Buy and by beating each other about the head and neck with the last Barbie doll at Toys R Us. That's the way we kick off the Christmas season. We put pressure on ourselves to make sure that we do Christmas right. And it all starts off with the best of intentions. We will have a good Christmas. We will have the perfect Christmas. We will do Christmas right this year. And we're trying so hard to do so, we're becoming, the opposite of what it is we're trying to become. It starts out like, well, let's bake some cookies, all right, from scratch. It'll be fun. We'll bake some cookies from scratch, and we'll hand them out to the neighbors, and it'll just be a great time. But in just a few minutes, there's white flour all over the kitchen counters everywhere, and there's black smoke filling the air, and the dog's over here eating raw cookie dough off the linoleum that he's going to throw up later on the carpet, of course. And there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and there's screaming, and there's crying. And this didn't happen at my house, by the way. I made all this up, all right? All in the vein of we're going to do Christmas the way that it's supposed to be. We know the story, but we're missing the message. You know what I want to do? You know what I want for you? I want us to experience Christmas the way those angels did. Amen? Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Praising God. I want us to experience Christmas like the shepherds did. Praising God everywhere they went and sharing what the news was. I want us to experience Christmas like Mary did. Treasuring all these things in our heart. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound right? Okay? I think we can all experience Christmas like that if we remember what the message is. Let me just give you briefly three pieces of advice that I think are backed up by our scripture passage this morning on how to keep the message in it and not just the story. Number one, schedule plenty of time to do, well, not much. Okay? Schedule plenty of time to do, not much. All right? It's all right to say no to some stuff every now and then. It's okay. You don't have to attend everything. You don't have to go everywhere. Just decline a few things. Spend time with your family. Just enjoy their presence, all right? Have the peace that comes from that. As Aaron Rodgers said, relax. R-E-L-A-X, just relax a little bit this Christmas. I see it in the passage this morning. I see it right there, plain as day. You know, here's the thing. We see the shepherds, and they're out there tending their flocks at night and all that. Listen to me. The shepherds were able to enjoy Christmas. The shepherds were able to appreciate Christmas because the shepherds weren't too busy to spend it with Christ. They could have said to the angels, hey, we got a lot to do here. We can't just leave our post. There's things that have to be happening. I know it looks like just sitting around, but that's because we make it look easy, all right? It's because we're good at it. But there's stuff that has to be done here. No, we don't have time to run off into town to see some baby. No, they had time. They had time. They weren't too busy to spend Christmas with Jesus Christ. Secondly, and this is really good advice year round, all right? Take it as it comes. Take it, whatever it is, as it comes. If the cookies burn, it's all right. That's okay. If the cookies burn up, it's just a good time to laugh about. Okay, just laugh it off. All right. You know, the angels came to them, and the first thing they said when the glory of the Lord shone all around the shepherds, the angels said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The angel said, do not fear. Let me tell you something. Nothing kills your joy like fear. Well, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that we're going to miss out on something. Because we're more affected by carnality, because we're more affected by society, because we're more affected by godlessness than we realize, we're afraid that we're going to miss out on that perfect gift. We're afraid we're going to miss out on that perfect party. We're afraid we're going to miss out on all kinds of things. And it is the very thing that's in us, the fear, it is the fear that causes us to miss out on the true message, and that is the joy. The angel said, do not fear. And just as an aside this morning, give a little less to people who have plenty so that you can give a little more to people that have need. Most, if not all of us in this room have plenty. And we're stressed out about what we're going to give Dad because he already has it. Give a little less to people that have plenty so that we can give a little more to people who have a true need. And lastly, and I think this is important as well, intentionally this Christmas, intentionally concentrate on the positive, okay? Intentionally concentrate on your blessings. Intentionally concentrate on thanksgiving to God. Intentionally concentrate on that which is good, because that will promote joy in your heart and life. There's a fellow by the name of David Myers. He's a PhD. He wrote a book called The Pursuit of Happiness. And in studying up for that book, he discovered that there had been over 80,000 studies performed, most I'm sure funded in one way or another by the government, but over 80,000 studies been done on depression and only 400 on joy. See, we as a society, we as human beings, we in the flesh, we have a tendency to focus in on the negative, don't we? We have a tendency to hone in and really just zero in on what's not 100% right. I think if we just do exactly what the angel said, if we do exactly what we see the shepherds doing, if we do exactly what we see Mary doing here, and we just treasure up all the good things that we have going for us in our heart, then we're going to have a joyful, a glory to God, a merry Christmas. You don't have to look at the negative of everything. You know, Mary and Joseph could have said, really, a census? We got to go out of town now. Really, is this really the best time? This isn't working for me. And then when they go and get in the stable and finally get a place to live or stay that night, you're in the barn for crying out loud. They go, okay, the baby's coming. Really? Now? Here? All right? But they didn't. They didn't focus on what was going wrong. They focused on the gift of God and the joy that that would bring. Intentionally focus on the positive. I want to conclude this morning by saying that naturally some of us in a group this large are thinking as I'm talking about this, really, preacher, Joy, you understand what's going on in my life right now? Do you understand what's going on in my marriage right now? Do you understand what's going on at my work right now? Do you understand what's going on with my kids? Do you understand what's going on in my checkbook right now? And do you want me to be positive and focus on joy? And I get that. I understand. Some way, shape, or form, we've all been in a similar place like that. But here's what I want to remind you of. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God, came to this world and has overcome all of that. Every last bit of it. He came to this world and He conquered death and He conquered sin and He overcame everything, including whatever it is you were going through. Jesus has overcome it all. And that's something to focus on. That's something to be happy about. That's something that ought to give you at least some glimmer of joy. Remember that message. Amen? Here's how I want us to conclude. I want us to focus on the message of Christmas, and that is the joy. Let's sing Joy to the World. Can we do that together? All right? I kind of did that quickly, but let's conclude today by singing Joy to the World so that we can go out in that vein together today. Go live it out so everybody will see it. Real quick, before we depart, I want to recognize a handful of people. We had a Christmas program last Sunday night, and it just absolutely went outstanding for all the anxiety and maybe lack of joy that went into the preparation of it. It was just something else, and all of you who took a part in that and had a speaking part and participated in one way or another, another, I just want you to know you did glorify God, and you did do a great thing, and people heard a message from that, and I want to thank you for your time. But Steve and Talisha Lawson and Tim and Mindy Chilton really rolled up their sleeves and made all this happen, and I just want to say to the four of you, thank you for all your effort. It's an eternal thing, and it makes a big difference. Y'all give him a little bit of a hand, if you will. Quick reminder, we will have youth tonight at 6 o'clock. Men's prayer, we're going to suspend for a couple of weeks so that men can stay home with their wives. We do that on Tuesday mornings, but we'll start back with that in January. No Wednesday night activities for next couple of weeks. It's Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, but we'll be right here next Sunday praising the Lord and looking to experience a blessing from Him. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You as always for Your many blessings on our life and for this time together. We just pray that You would help us to walk out of this room living out the true message of Christmas, and that is the joy that comes from having Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. It's a good thing. So we go in that precious name. Amen.